Truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. On Friday, I submitted my member in discernment application to begin the ordination process in the United Church of Christ. The idea is that I'll become an ordained minister. If you know me, you know I didn't take this decision lightly. In fact, it has been fraught with tension. I have come to a point where my commitment to Christianity has been strained worse than at any other time in my life. It is not just that there are bad Christians. It's that Christianity has, in the main, been a force of evil in the world. From Emperor Constantine making Christianity the dominant religion of the Roman Empire, to the doctrine of discovery from the 15th century, which sanctioned colonization, genocide, and slavery, to the creation of this Christian nation, which has waged war all over the globe, and which exploits land and people to the detriment of all. Christianity is and has been at the forefront of worldwide death and destruction. Climate change is a Christian phenomenon. Racism is a Christian phenomenon. Capitalism is a Christian phenomenon. It all comes back to a Christian separation of body and soul, heaven and earth, sinners and saints. Our bodies, our earth, ourselves are devalued and rendered exploitable, while our souls are promised escape to heaven. Christianity dooms this world to hellish misery, to the control of money and white straight men, while promising those who submit, who don't fight back, who don't resist, an eternity of bliss in the hereafter. Christianity exchanges this life for the promise of the next life. This exchange is at the root of the injustice we see in the world. The world can burn because the earth doesn't matter, only heaven matters. The body can be enslaved because the body doesn't matter, only the soul matters. Friedrich Nietzsche said, "The Christian decision to find the world ugly and bad has made the world ugly and bad." So why am I pursuing ordination? When I first read the parable of the sower as a kid, I wondered what kind of soil I was, and I hoped I was the good soil, someone who hears the word and understands it. But I struggled because I did not hear from God. I would hear people say, "Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship." They claimed to have a personal relationship to Christ, and they believed God spoke to them clearly and directly. I, on the other hand, could never boast of having a personal relationship to Christ. I waited and did not hear. I did not hear and I did not understand. If God was speaking to others, why was God not speaking to me? Even after all this time, I still wouldn't say I've heard from God, much less that I understand what God is saying. It's possible my entire religious life has been driven by this lack. Do I attend church now because I'm still waiting for that word from God? At different times in my life, I think I've been different kinds of soil. The path where the word is snatched away because it is not understood. The rocky ground where the word is received with joy, but its significance peters out when trouble comes. At times, I even feel like the thorns choking the seed, smothering it so it bears nothing. Sometimes I feel like an enemy of faith, insisting not just of my doubt of Christianity, but on my conviction that Christianity is deeply toxic. But good soil. Have I ever been good soil? In the United Church of Christ, as in many Protestant denominations, you get ordained when you receive a call. Ordination is the first the process of justifying and realizing this call, which it is believed is issued from God. Ministers are called by God to serve. And the very word ministry means service. It means waiting at a table. A minister is a waiter, one who stands ready to meet the needs in their midst. But an ordained minister is called by God to a specific ministry in the UCC. It is often a church, and the job is often pastor, but it varies. Now, I have no plans of being a pastor, but I do have a ministry. My ministry is called Despair Sanctuary. It is an event series where people are invited to come hold negative emotions while listening to poetry readings and drone metal music. Drone metal is a special kind of metal music. It's still heavy and ominous, but it is also slow and ambient. There's a mystical and transcendent quality to it. It raises one's consciousness to the reality of the abyss, the eternal void at the center of all things. Jesus said, quoting the prophet Isaiah, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But I say, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you drone metal." What kind of soil is drone metal? Perhaps there is a fifth soil, where the word is understood without being heard, or held without being understood, where the word is only spoken of in silence, and where understanding is only possible with uncertainty. What if the word is a mystery and doubt reveals it? So Despair Sanctuary is an odd kind of call. It doesn't issue from divine revelation, but precisely from the absence of divine revelation. For it is God's absence which occasions lament. Despair Sanctuary is a kind of anti-call. It is a ministry for those who have heard no word, who have no personal relationship to Christ. They call up Jesus on that main line, they told him what they wanted, and they didn't hear a goddamn thing. They were disappointed by God. I see that disappointment, and I understand it. So I feel called to be their minister. You know that song, Jesus on the Main Line? Who knows that song? Raise your hand. You know that song? Yeah, it's a good song. But it's not everyone's experience. Have you ever felt a calling? My understanding is a calling is made evident in who you are. It's less an audible voice telling you where to go, and more a sense that the path you are on is the right one for you. Through Despair Sanctuary, I have found a ministry that is right for me. And it's a ministry that enables me to meet the brokenness of Christianity, the injustice of Christianity, with a deep, harrowing cry. It enables me to reckon with the long, sordid history of Christian imperialism with honesty. It enables me and others to grieve that history, which is essential for processing historical injustice. We have to be able to grieve publicly. For the loss is bottomless. The wreckage piles up into the sky. Hundreds of years of cries of pain on account of the Christian world. Can you hear? Are we good soil for the word of the victims? Do we understand their cries? Echoing those cries, listening for God in those that suffer, that is not a threat to faith. It is faith made manifest. It is faithfulness to Christ, who cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The world is ugly and bad. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We'll sing a song here later, a hymn. And in the hymn, there's a line, "Laid in the earth, like grain that sleeps unseen, Love has come again like wheat arising green. Just because you can't see what's planted doesn't mean nothing will grow. What lies dormant all winter bursts out in spring. There is no telling what beauty and goodness may yet be.